shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, and welcome to Shooting from the Lip on Sputnik with John Gaunt. Got an interesting guest for you today, Stephen Wolfe. He's an independent MEP. As you know, he was a member of UKIP. And last week, of course, I spoke to Gerard Batten at length. This week, we've had the Brexit betrayal. And wherever you are, whether you're a UKIP supporter, a Tory or Labour, everything is in turmoil. Even the President of the United States is saying that it'd be easier to negotiate with Vladimir Putin than Theresa May. I think she's a dead woman walking. I think she should go now. I would like to see Boris Johnson as Prime Minister, not because I like him, but because I think he's the best of a bad bunch. I would like him. I don't want a general election at the moment, and I definitely don't want a Tory leadership contest. And I even say, bring back Nigel. I call him Sir Nigel of Farage, and let him be our EU negotiator. And let's get a deal done with America. Well, that's my views, but let's find out what the views of Stephen Wolfe are as he joins us now. As I say, he's now an independent MEP. He joins us now to talk about the political turmoil.
Shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, John.
OK, let's start first. Can Theresa May survive?
I think, sadly, she probably will. And as much as I share your disgust at the way that she has handled the negotiations with the European Union on our Brexit, the way that she's managed her own cabinet, and in what I say, a prime minister in Theresa May who has orchestrated a Remainer coup with the skill of a silent assassin to deliver the death of Brexit. She should go. And yes, we've seen, you know, a handful of cabinet ministers and other ministers resign. I get the feeling that there was supposed to be more. I get the feeling that there was supposed to be a fight back by those Conservative MPs who are true Brexiteers, who believe in satisfying the will of the people who voted to leave in the referendum of 2016. But I think they've lost the momentum. I fear that the skill of the Remainers, who now completely control the whole four major positions of state, the Foreign Office, the Home Office, the Treasury, and the Prime Minister, are all Remainers. They've got Remainers in all the key departments that are required to technically negotiate with the European Union. The Prime Minister, with her sycophantic and EU-loving civil servant, Ollie Robbins, in charge of drafting the papers. I think she's got the power, the control, the will, and there's a lack of will within the Conservative MPs to actually take her out.
Okay, so you're basically saying they're putting party before the country. But were you cheered that David Davis and Boris Johnson, well, I'm never sure he puts anything before Boris Johnson, but at least they walked. So what you're saying is she's hanging on, clinging on like a limpet because no one's got the backbone to push her out.
I was cheered by David Davis, whom I've met and I've campaigned with during the campaign for Brexit, who I found a very honourable and principled person. And I was worried at first that he hadn't done so, particularly when we started to read the communique of what the Chequers Brexit proposal was meant to be. And I've also met Boris Johnson. I mean, I first met him when I stood to be the mayor of London, of which he won. In, I think, way back in 2012, it might well have been now, or 2010. A lot has been said about that man. And I think a lot has been said about he only does it for his own self-interest. Well, which politician doesn't? But in reality, he still has principles and views. And he still had to stand up and do the things that he needed to do during the referendum and the campaign. And all of this, I suspect, is a huge amount of A, jealousy that those MPs who are frightened of him have not got the skill and charisma that he has to be able to engage with the public and actually open the country to the world. And secondly, there are those who are completely in the thrall of the European Union, will do anything to damage any of those who are capable of undertaking a proper Brexit, be they David Davis or be they Boris Johnson. So they have definitely resigned. Steve Baker resigning was an incredibly important part too, because he led the ERG and he is part of the thinking aspect of the Brexit movement to be all. And he knows fundamentally what is going on. And so did some of the other MPs that have gone with him, including the two vice chairs. So there's enough out there to say we are unhappy with what's going on. My only concern was when I heard Jacob Rees-Mogg saying that he would not support the removal of Theresa May in his interview. I think it was on Newsnight. And that, to me, sent out a very concerning message that even though they have principles, they're not willing to take her down. So either A, they've got a separate strategy where they think they can turn this around in the short time that we've got before October of this year when all the decisions are made, or they don't believe they've got the numbers to be able to take her out when it comes to a confidence vote, which would require 159 Conservative MPs to actually vote against Theresa May. And
so the bottom
lost.
Line is we're not going to get the Brexit we voted for, in your opinion?
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is a complete con. We will be left in the worst position possible. We will be still taking the rules of the European Union for a whole swathe of our goods that we want to export to the world. So if you produce goods in the UK and only want to sell them in the UK, or if you produce goods in the UK and you don't want to sell them to the EU but the rest of the world, you'll still have to follow European Union rules. And as a consequence of that, if we ever went into a trade negotiation with a different country, just like Trump's United States, when they come to us and say, OK, we want to look at all the goods that you sell and produce and that you want to now export to us, we'd like to give you 0% tariffs. And then they go, hang on a minute, but you're undertaking EU rules. So shouldn't we be negotiating with the EU? Aren't you simply an EU agreement? You're a colony now of the EU. So before we can agree a treaty on goods with you, we have got to agree with the EU. Is that not the case? And of course that's the case. There'll be no trade agreements on goods with the rest of the world unless it's been agreed by the EU first. So we are a colony. And of course, if there's any disputes over the rules, John, who's the governing court? Is it our court anymore? Of course not. It's the European Courts of Justice. But what they don't tell you, John, is this. They're looking at it just as the narrow factor of goods. And that's the rule book, the common rule book with the EU, they're calling it. But if you have goods, you're also going to have swathes of EU laws over aspects of our social policy, our employment policy, which are tied into that as well. So we're still going to be governed by the EU on that by secondary legislation or by remit from them. So we're simply, as Trump said the other day, simply having to listen to what the EU controls ourselves.
Well, let's go on to Trump in a moment and his visit and what he said about Putin, because, of course, and also the protests that are going to happen from Thursday onwards. But we'll do all that in a moment. You're listening to Shooting from the Lip with John Gaunt. Today, I am talking to Stephen Wolfe, the independent MEP. Yes, he used to be in UKIP, but he hasn't been for a year or so now. And we're talking about the great EU betrayal, I guess. I mean, I was hoping the Tories might be sensible. I mean, I wrote an article for Sputnik. I don't really care which one of them becomes prime minister, but I thought they would come up with a deal with Jacob Rees-Mogg, people like Boris Johnson and David Davis, and perhaps even bring in Nigel Farage to get the populist support, you know, a bit like Lord Digby Jones did with Labour and with the Tories, in a sense of making sure they do get elected. Because again, if we're not careful here, and tell me if I'm wrong, Stephen, if they go down the route at the moment that they're going down, the Tories, they will be finished. And there's a chance that Comrade Corbyn could be in number 10. Do you share that fear?
Oh, absolutely. And does anybody really care anymore, John? Would it really matter? Would it really matter if Theresa May, as we now know, has sold us down the river on the Brexit, the great Brexit betrayal? I think when you look at the people of this country, most people will accept the importance of living in a land where democratic votes are upheld by the losers of those votes. And if you deny them that victory, if you deny them what's been promised on the tin, the effect upon democracy is devastating. And over the past weekend, I have noticed a massive change from those Conservative voters who I know supported Brexit and stayed with the Tories, who have said they will no longer campaign or work for the Conservative Party. I know some Conservative members who said automatically that we're going to go and rejoin UKIP. And I understand over the weekend there have been 2,000 new members for UKIP, and well done them for that. But there are those like I've spoken to in the north of England over the past week, and this has been a feeling that's been going there for quite some time, in those northern cities I was brought up in, where my family still live, who have said the following to me, John. If we don't get Brexit, if we don't get our fresh years back, if we don't get the ending of freedom of movement and a visa system in our country anymore, then we will vote for the Labour Party to punish the Conservatives. And we don't care that Corbyn gets in because of two reasons. One, if you have nothing anyway, John, it really doesn't matter who's in, and we're not going to get any better. And secondly, when we call him Conway Corbyn or EU Corbyn, Corbyn will be shackled by the European Union anyway and will not be able to implement a tenth, let alone a half of what he wants to implement. Because if they won't allow us to have Brexit, they're not allowing him to have anything.
Now listen, I woke up this morning full of optimism because I believe England are going to win the World Cup. You're depressing the hell out of me, Mr. Wolf. It's a terrible view of the world. But okay, let's go back to Farage. He says he will come back to frontline politics. Is he talking nonsense, or do you think he might? And if he did, do you think UKIP can be a force again? And would you become a member of UKIP?
I think Farage should never have left. I think his gravest mistake, and he'll consider it as a big mistake when he looks down in history for how he believes he set out his own stall and how he'll be seen in history for the person who managed to bring up UKIP and then left it at the time, like so many, when it was needed the most to ensure the job was done. And so when I hear that he wants to come back, I would be delighted. I think he will have lost some of his shine because of the way that he did leave. And people do remember that they needed somebody at that time. But having said that, having said the fact that he's lost his shine, that some people will resent him for that, it is needed. He is needed back here to galvanize the political party of UKIP to get bigger and better, to challenge those Conservative Remainers and make them lose their seats, and to ensure that the Conservatives are once again
frightened.
Can I
just stop you there just for one moment? Are you saying then, if he came back, UKIP could be a big force again, as they were when they got the 4 million votes in that European election? Is that what you're actually saying? They're the only opposition to this betrayal. A man who's left UKIP, is that what you're saying?
I am, John, and I have looked at this over the past 9 months. I have been on this show and other shows, and I have worked behind the scenes talking to financiers, supporters, backers, all about trying to create the idea of a unified Leaver movement that was able to be protective of the Brexit that we needed. I've been unable to do that. Others and the Conservative Party looks as though they're going to fail to do the job. So the country therefore needs a political party. There have been a number of offshoots of UKIP, which I think are just not going to go anywhere. And they just need to face up to the fact that they are not going to make any movement in this country. And they should look to that political party, UKIP. They should look to UKIP, John, and say, this is the only one that has got. And don't forget, I've had huge fallings out with them. And I'm going to say, and some of the people I just will not be able to get along with at all. But with a Farage in charge, and then being able to look at and focus once more on what matters to the people of this country, I do believe that they can rise again. And it may well be that they're the only party that can do it. And perhaps that's what we need in this country.
Okay, well, let me
again
Answer that direct question. And you've obviously written off Anne-Marie Waters there in by implication. You think Farage can re-galvanise it, but it won't be quite the same. A couple of questions for you. What do you think of Gerard Batten's leadership? And what about these so-called alt-right people who have joined? Because I'm being told they're the ones, along with the Brexit betrayal, that are fueling this membership surge. And even people who are anti-UKIP have got to recognise there is a surge going on at the moment. Back to you.
No, look, I will say that Gerard and I have never really seen eye to eye, and I don't think I would ever appear on any of his Christmas card lists at all. I mean, I think it's pretty open. He never really ever liked me from the day that I joined UKIP. That's sad. I often, try to support him in some ways because I believed as a founder of UKIP, he needed to be supported and backed even when others like Farage didn't like him as well. But you can't change people's opinions of yourself that easily when they're so entrenched. And you know that he is a very strong-willed, determined and individual that believes in one thing and doesn't change his mind at all. So on that respect, I think he has done a reasonable job in what they call steadying the ship, and he's taken it in the direction that he wanted to take UKIP in the direction for years, which is a full-blown Geert Wilders-style anti-Islam party. Now, there is a ways of dealing with some of the aspects of Islam, which is radical Islam, whether you look at the aspects of FGM with Sharia courts, and I have a personal view of how you politically deal with that. He wants to go head-on like a bull through several doors, and that's the way he believes that he can gain the votes. And on some ways, he has. And I think on many people's calculations, it's quite possible that he can build that into a 2 million voting political party. But 2 million isn't enough to get anywhere near the front door of a first past the post political system, or indeed through the proportional representation positions in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, or the London Assembly. And you need to be able to reach out much further than that. And that was Farage's skill to be able to do that. So he has been able to succeed. He has been able to galvanise the party. And I think over this weekend, the Brexit betrayal will continue more. But I think if you're seen now as he is, as just this single issue party just about Islam, there will be a limit. Farage coming back, taking control, might be able to soften the edges and expand once more to push people up. But it's that magic number that they talked about, 4 million. That was the key. Once you got 5 million, John, that's where seats were flocking in.
Would Gerard Batten stand aside? I mean, Nigel said at the end of this year, if he did come back, would Batten stand aside? And if he did, would you rejoin UKIP?
I'm not sure that Batten would stand aside. I think he will now say that I've done such a good enough job that it should go down to the members to vote for themselves. So I think there would need to be a leadership election probably in UKIP to do so. And I think you'll see Nigel standing up against Gerard. And that's a calculation for themselves. I've often said that it's highly unlikely that UKIP would ever accept me under any leadership at this moment, ever coming back in to fight for them. And secondly, there is a difficulty, as I say, that I'm not fully engaged with their direction in respect of the one issue that they are looking at. I do see there are problems, but strategically on immigration, I have now studied this and I've worked on it for nearly 6 or 7 years. I've done a huge amount of research. I've written papers for the government, papers for Leave Means Leave, the policies for UKIP. I'm in the middle of writing a book, two books, in fact, on immigration and its implications about it. I understand the policy, and I just don't believe that their strategy at the moment in trying to be a bull in a china shop is the way of dealing with this issue, but they're having success in that strategy. So as a consequence, there's no way, I don't think they'll ever let me back in, even if I wanted to.
Okay, let's talk about bulls in China shops in a moment, because we'll move on to Donald Trump and the protests that are going to happen this week and what he's been saying about NATO.
Shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
You're listening to John Gaunt. It's Shooting from the Lip with Sputnik and International. And we're also, of course, talking to Stephen Wolf today. OK, let's move on to Donald Trump. He's coming. First of all, what do you make of the protests? And what do you make of this flying a balloon of Donald in a nappy? I think it's a disgrace because it's not showing any respect to Donald Trump or the office of president. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're totally right, John. I mean, I'm afraid that there's so much of the left and the liberal Democrats and the trade union movements and the teachers and the professors that supposedly support liberal views and freedom of speech and equality that is summed up in that balloon that they want to stick above Parliament when he arrives. And that is how childish and immature and infantile they are, how their views about how to respond to political challenges are and how much they have never really moved from school children and kindergarten to the empty voice box of university debating to get into the real world that they've become.
Well, the real world, the Mayor of London's given permission. So what about Sadiq Khan? I think he's a disgrace. What do you think?
Well, Sadiq Khan's failure to be able to deal with knife crime, to be able to deal with the lack of policing, the destruction of London, the way that it is going, will be his legacy. So we don't really need to speak too much about a man whose failure he carries around on his shoulders each day. But what he does show once again by permitting that is how lack of a leader he truly is and how he would be even worse for this country now if he should he ever suggest to try and become the leader of the Labour Party and try to become Prime Minister.
He got the biggest vote ever, though, didn't he, in an election? He's saying things that people agree with, surely.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, he says things that a certain group of people agree with. He says things that the narrow group of what I call the extremist ultra-Remainers, the EUFs, will say. But he isn't saying what every Londoner will say about Trump or every member of this country who has to go on holiday or work with people from the United States or do business with the United States. They're embarrassed by people like him. They're embarrassed by those who are going to demonstrate and show the posters and the ridiculous things that they've got. By all means, as I said early on, we happen to live in a country which accepts the democratic will. We accept freedom of speech. We accept demonstrations. But it doesn't mean that we have to like the content or the message of those demonstrations or those demonstrators.
Should he have been given a full state visit, in your opinion?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have given full state visits for people who have been absolute criminals. We have given full state visits for people who suppress the rights of women in their own country. Look at Saudi Arabia. We have given important visits to people like Erdogan, who suppresses freedom of speech. We've given visits to those people who have been absolute dictators in their country. But here is the man that has the biggest amount of investment into our country through their investment funds and businesses. 60% of the city is the United States. The United States is the largest receiver of our own overseas investment. We have huge links with them. They came in and supported us during the Second World War. We have been allies of them for a long time. They're an important leader in the world. And what do? We act like spoiled children who's not got the Christmas present we liked at Christmas and are throwing it back at Santa Claus just because we don't like the colour of the red that he's wearing.
And of course, they would never have done it to Obama. But let's just move on from there. Do you believe the trade deal, like the American ambassador Woody said the other day, could be in jeopardy if this nonsense continues?
No, I think I can't see how it can go ahead, to be honest. The analysis of the communique from the Chatham House meeting on Friday made it very clear that we're going to be abiding by
EU
rules for goods. And as I said, in order to have any trade deal with the United States, there's going to be a goods element, including agri products and farming. And if we've got to follow the EU rules, the US know that they had a terrible job trying to deal with that in the TTIP negotiations with the EU. So they'll have difficulties with us. How can they agree a trade deal with us when we've got to go to the EU every time they make a sentence about goods?
Okay, so what did you make? I agree with you, by the way. What did you make of Trump today, straight on the front foot, having a go and a pop about NATO, basically saying we're not paying enough? Is he right?
Well, he's wrong about the UK paying enough. I mean, we pay more than our fair share into NATO and historically have done so. And I think none of the other countries have really gotten anywhere near. I think perhaps Sweden, if I may well be slightly wrong on that. But the rest of the EU have not done any contribution that's near enough what's needed to fund NATO. And so he's correct on that. And this is a long-term argument. But what you see, John, is that in many ways, this is typical of the EU. It's all about the money, the way that they wanted the $39 billion from us straight up front before they'd even start about the trade agreement, the way that they act in terms of NATO. They want the protection of NATO. They want us funding the armies there and the security on the borders against Russia and the other countries that they might see as a danger. But they're not willing to pay into it. But in the meantime, what have they been doing? They've been building their own European army. They've been building their own European army infrastructure. And now they're saying we can't trust America to help fund NATO. So therefore, we need more money into our European army. And by the way, UK, you've got to join as well. And we've agreed to join into the European army in so many of their different factions, functions, and in the military complex that builds the weaponry. So they're developing that. And I think this is something that the EU won't really mind about. It'll just give them an excuse to say, let's have a German-dominated EU army.
So you think Trump is in the right, generally, in his attitude towards us? He obviously wants a deal, but you think May is actually now jeopardising that as well? Because he has basically backed Boris Johnson. He wants to meet Boris while he's here. He's also obviously going to meet Nigel Farage, and the government are hating that. So do you think his backing of Johnson is important?
Absolutely. I think what he's saying there to the British people is that you have a man of talent in the same way that seeing Nigel Farage, and I think Steve Bannon is meeting Nigel Farage tomorrow night as well, who once also worked for President Trump, is that, you know, this is sending out a very powerful message that this man is a no-nonsense man. He likes to do things differently. He likes people who think openly about the world rather than this closeted liberal kind of agenda that we've had since I've been born, and certainly since I've been a teenager growing up, this kind of idea that everybody is exactly the same, there's no differences, and you all have to believe one particular viewpoint, otherwise you've got to be on the outside. And I just don't think that kind of liberal socialism of the Nick Cleggs of this world is really what this world needs. We need to have someone that is much more direct, faces the different challenges that we have, and recognises the imbalances. And Trump's doing that, and that's why they hate him so much.
And that's why some people would say the American people, the people who voted for him, love him so much, because he's only doing what he said he would do during the election, which is very interesting for a politician. Stephen, we could speak for hours, but I want to thank you for your thoughts today. I'm sure it's going to create a little bit of controversy, but also food for thought. Stephen Wolfe, independent MEP, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, John.
That's Stephen Wolfe joining us on Sputnik with his views on what is going on in what has been a massive week for politics. I don't agree with everything he said. I certainly think Theresa May's days are numbered. I'm certainly hoping that's the case. And I just wish now they would push through on it. But I also want Nigel Farage involved in some way, shape or form. And it is an absolute disgrace that the president of the free world is being dealt with and treated in the manner he is being treated at the moment. You've been listening to Shooting From The Lip with Sputnik. My name's John Gaunt. I'll see you next week.
Shooting From The Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting From The Lip.